Hi, welcome to This Expat Life. My name is Amanda Maxime, and as a certified coach, I help high-achieving expats find more fulfillment and happiness in their global lives. Because while life abroad is often amazing, it is not only rainbows and butterflies, as all experienced expats know. In This Expat Life, I open up space for all facets of life abroad and what you can do to thrive in it. And to support you in your personal, professional, and geographic life transitions, I share tips, tell relatable stories, and connect with fellow expats. Whether you've just moved abroad or you are a seasoned expat, This Expat Life is your place to find real understanding and to grow from the inside out. Enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to This Expat Life. Today, I'm joined by another guest in my digital studio, and I'm joined by Kia Sophie Stack. And 2 years ago, Kia Sophie moved from Munich in Germany to Los Angeles in the US. And she worked as an attorney for 10 years before turning into an entrepreneur in 2020. And with that, she followed her passion and she now teaches her clients how to adapt their lifestyle habits from feeling stressed and depleted to energetic and well-rested. And as it is her inspiration to empower them to be able to sustain their achievements and health in a sustainable way. Therefore, Kia Sophie has done trainings, for example, in life design coaching, Ayurvedic lifestyle, aromatherapy, yoga, and stress management. And Kia Sophie loves to travel, cook, hang out at coffee shops, hiking, and read. Exactly my hobbies too. Welcome to the show, Kia Sophie.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Amanda. Yeah, I think that's why we immediately got along so well. Yes. Because a lot of our hobbies and interests align.
Yes, very much so. So I already know this, but just for the listeners and the watchers on YouTube, where are you calling in from?
I am in Santa Monica. So Los Angeles, Santa Monica, people from Santa Monica and Los Angeles are very particular about the different regions. For me, it's kind of like all LA, but I guess that tells that I'm not a native to here. But yes, we live in Santa Monica.
So maybe actually, why don't we start with that? Because just 2 weeks ago, I think you were not in Santa Monica. You were in Utah because of the fires in LA. How was that for you?
That was a tough situation. I have not experienced something like that before, where you within a few hours have to leave your apartment and you don't know if you're coming back to it. I mean, we were lucky in the end. I'm very thankful for that, that the fire didn't reach Santa Monica, but the little village right adjacent to it, Pacific Palisades, which probably now the whole world knows because it's been on the news for so long. A lot of houses burned down. And of course, the fire was moving more closer towards Santa Monica. And so at some point, we got our evacuation order as well. And then it's like, really, okay, what do you take? You have like 10, 20 minutes to decide that. Some people that actually lived in the fire zone, they had 5 minutes or they just had to leave with nothing. So we were in a privileged situation to at least get to pack a bag. But yeah, it was something completely different. And it's interesting what you take, right? When you have so little time to think about. And so, I mean, we wanted to pack very lightly. I just packed some clothes, but then I really grabbed my essential oils. I grabbed my yoga mat. I grabbed a few things from my altar. So it's like, you know, it really kind of reflected my life otherwise, what things are important to me and what you then just kind of like go for.
Yeah, exactly. It's a question that we sometimes ask ourselves, right? What would I bring in case of a fire? And only few people, thank God, actually need to really think about this. But it does reflect a lot, like you said, what is important to you. What is your personality perhaps too? So what you packed, do you want to say something?
Just maybe, because I've been thinking about that a lot, maybe a little suggestion for everybody who's listening, very practical. Keep your important documents somewhere where you know where they are and where you can really access them very quickly. I mean, fortunately, through all of the moving my husband and I have done over the last few years, we live very minimal and we have our stuff close and where we know where it's at. But I know a lot of people don't, or they have it spread all over their huge house. And so really, like, your most important documents, keep them somewhere together, accessible, so in case of emergency, you know which drawer to open and just grab it.
Yeah, I fully agree with that advice. I have it too. I have a drawer with all my travel stuff. I learned to do that because I'm so chaotic, not in case of an emergency. But I remember when I was living in Brazil as a diplomat, sometimes we spoke about evacuations, just as a theoretical practice that we sometimes had to do. And I had one colleague who was very concerned always with potential disasters, and he really taught me to have like an escape bag as well. Just to make sure that whatever happens, in that country and we would need to leave, I could leave within 5 minutes. Now, I have never gone that far to have that actual bag, but a few important things, I know exactly where they are. Yeah, so great, great tip.
I know people here have earthquake bags, and a
Right,
friend of
yeah.
mine keeps telling me or asking me, have you packed your bag yet? And I'm always like, no, I haven't. So yeah, I don't have an earthquake bag yet. I hope I won't need it.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely things like that. If you're living in a zone that is challenged by natural any kind of catastrophes, then yes, it's
Yeah.
probably good to
And
have.
that's also different, I think, from at least you're from Germany, I'm from the Netherlands. If I speak for myself, I never really grew up with the possibility of natural disasters. I've seen that risk in Latin America. You've seen it now in the US. I think for us, it's a very foreign concept, but this is
Right.
also what living abroad teaches you, right? Like you do have to take these things into account.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, we have little floodings or wind, and it's, I mean, not so little. People die and it's terrible. They lose a lot of things, but yeah, it's just so different than it is here. Yeah.
Okay, so let's start chat a little bit more about what you are packing, but actually what is behind that. So you spoke about your essential oils, your yoga mat. I know you're this super healthy person who really is creating a lifestyle that works for you, and you're helping other people with that too. You have great habits that you're able to stick to. I think as you were escaping the fires and you brought those things, you've been able to stick with those habits away from your house too. Can you maybe share what got you into this role and how your move away from being an attorney?
Okay, I'm gonna try to make this as short as possible because, of course, it's a long story. But so yes, I practiced as an attorney for 10 years, and I was never really happy with it. For the last 5 years of my corporate career, I had a job that was actually really cool, and it was a larger variety of things I would do. And there were definitely a lot of tasks I had to do, which I very much enjoyed. But the concept of me sitting at a desk all day, mainly working at the desktop, was just kind of against my nature, I want to say. I just need to move around a lot. I love interacting with other people. And of course, I had colleagues, but still, I was doing a lot of research. I was writing papers, working on cases. And so obviously, that is not always a job where you have a lot of interaction all the time, at least. And so for me, it was really a little bit of suffering. And in the end, it made me ill. I developed an eating disorder. And I just felt like at that point, I felt like there's an all or nothing. Like either I quit my job and I completely get out of it and change my life, or yeah, I'm gonna get really ill and stay in it. And looking back now, 5 years later, or even over the last few years, I would say I would have had a different choice. I think for me personally, it was the right decision because I love my life these days so much. I love what I'm doing and I really developed into this new career. But at that point, it was not as hopeless looking back, at least as I thought back then, because I think, well, for one, I could have looked for a different job in my career field, like being an attorney or just something related to law. And I could have made some more serious lifestyle changes. So I had already, while I was in that job in 2017, I had started a yoga teacher training. I started learning a lot about essential oils, doing an aromatherapy training. I did even my coaching training I did while I was still on the job. So I had learned a lot and I had built my tasks and I had built them into my personal lifestyle. But I think I was missing an outside perspective. I was also working with a therapist, so you know all the things you could have, but I still didn't, like, for me, I didn't bring it all together. And looking back now, if I had if I had made some other lifestyle changes, I could have probably had the strength to go through the situation with more resilience. At that point, I just didn't. No, I didn't feel it. I felt like I didn't have a chance, a choice. But so that was kind of like the transition of getting out of the work as an attorney and then quitting that job. And yeah, really, I had a vision. So what I also do, as you know, I moderate events. I'm an event MC. And at that point, which was the end of 2019, my great plan was to be self-employed as an MC. But then COVID hit. And so that kind of like got me then much more into the healthy lifestyle and coaching sector.
So cool. And now you help other people in jobs to design a lifestyle that is working for them and that's keeping them healthy. Is the reason why you are helping those people also because of your own journey and that you now realize, oh, I could have made some changes and different choices if I had been more aware of them?
I think there are different reasons. For one, I'm so passionate about and sometimes maybe a little obsessed about everything that is related to healthy lifestyle. I love Ayurveda, I love essential oils, yoga, but not only these things, also just very practical everyday habits. And so I just learned to love to teach about it, to talk about it. And so obviously with that, naturally, I love to work with people and help them to implement them in their lives. And so yes, I think my deep inspiration or the first step I walked into that is definitely from my own story, from my own suffering. And because I believe we can help people better if we've been in a similar situation. I mean, in that case, you always have to pay attention a little bit that you don't just put your own story on the other person. So that is something to be definitely aware of. But I think if you have this awareness, then it is a very valuable place from having a lot of empathy with people that are in that situation. And just, yeah, because I know a lot of people, especially attorneys, or, you know, people just in higher positions with a lot of stress and pressure in their jobs, sometimes they feel like they don't have a choice or they don't have the time or energy to be good to themselves, but actually the opposite is the case. The better they're to themselves, the better they will perform. And so I've seen so many great transitions from clients and from people I know, and that really motivates me.
Yeah, that's so cool. And okay, let's start talking about that because I was once this depleted diplomat and I was loving my diplomat life, but the job was pretty unfulfilling. But I was traveling so much. Every 2 to 3 weeks, I was on a plane. At night, we often had receptions or events. And, I got excited by everything, but I was deeply exhausted under that surface. And also, I was exercising 3 times a week and I had a personal trainer. So that was all fine. But I could tell that I wasn't really thriving physically and maybe mentally too. I think there was a lot of room left to be super vital in my life. So, and I know tons of people who feel that way, who feel like you felt as well when you were an attorney. What are some of the, and I also know that their main objection is I don't have the time. Work is taking too much for me. So what are some of the things that they can start doing to already generate a change in their lives towards a healthier way of living?
Right. So I know many people, especially when they're busy and travel a lot, they don't want to hear that. But in generally, we humans need routines. And to many people, that sounds very boring, or it sounds like, oh, I can't do the same thing every day. And this is not what I'm saying by that. You don't need to live every day over by having a routine. Having a routine means that you have anchors for yourself. And that is, I think, the one key thing if somebody understands that, or maybe in first place, doesn't even understand it. But when I work with people, sometimes they want to, but they have a little resistance. So it's a little bit of this back and forth. But then they follow my advice for a certain time before really understanding and like really being convinced 100%. But by following the advice, and that is very individual, you know, how anybody with a busy life can adjust that, and what kind of habits they can establish. But then a lot of times, or actually all times, they start feeling different. And so little routines can be, you know, whatever your usually day looks like, you can build in a little bit of breath work, for example. And then breath work is not this what is now so super hyped, like you have to do this crazy breathing or hyperventilating or all of these things. Breath work can be breathe in on four, hold on four, breathe out on four, and hold on four again. And it's like it's a box, it's called box breathing. And that is one of the most simple tools that actually exist. But if you try that in a stressful moment, just for 2 minutes, you can feel how your whole nervous system is settling. And so I found it interesting because you just said you worked out 3 times a week and you had a personal trainer. And a lot of times it's really not the workout, it's the work in. So the
Tell me more.
workout is super important for the body. I mean, we have energy, we need strength, we need to keep our heart healthy, our cardiovascular system. So all of that is definitely very, very good. And doing sports on a regular basis, I definitely suggest, don't get me wrong on that. But if you want to feel more connected, more calm, and manage your stress levels better, it's better to start with a calming practice. For example, like breath work. A lot of people then, if I suggest meditation, they say, oh no, I can't sit still because as soon as I sit still, all the thoughts are running through my mind. And in those situations, as much as I think everybody should meditate, in those situations, I don't really suggest to just sit down and meditate because it's going to be a hard practice. Like it's going to bring up more of all of the dust and it's actually let you settle. So, but there are ways that you can do, for example, you can do your breath work And then you can meditate for 5 minutes because then you're already calmed down, or you can do a rough workout, for example, and then you can meditate. Or I like to practice Kundalini yoga, for example, which definitely not everybody has to, but it's something I have found for myself and I have found a lot of healing in. And a lot of times there are tough practices with a lot of repetition, a lot of movement. And then your body is so, like, has used the energy and has brought up the energy, and then it gets much easier to sit and meditate and not having all of this thoughts running through your mind. So,
I love this advice because I on purpose didn't mention it when I was talking about how I was depleted and everything, because as a coach, I knew like my own transformation came from the inside. So I needed to slow down in life and connect with myself. One way is through coaching and other personal development tools, but the other part that you're describing is equally important in my eyes. It's calming down your nervous system. So now that you described it, I'm like, oh yeah, I totally did that too. And that really eventually enabled that transformation. But I love this advice because I think a lot of high achievers are so used to be on the go, to act quickly, to be productive all the time. Their mind is constantly racing. And so for you to suggest you should actually do something calming, I think it's not something logical to them, but it's exactly the game changer that they might need. So this is great advice.
yeah, and I think that's a lot of reason why it helps to work with a mentor like I offer, for example, because especially those high achievers, often need somebody who reminds them constantly. Because if I just give them a course or an ebook, all of that is great, but there are a zillion books on how to live a healthy life, how to establish new habits, on, all of that. You don't need anybody to tell you that. What you really need somebody for is to sit down with you personally, look at your life and see, okay, where can we put in little islands of calm or little adjustments? Or, I mean, then for some people, it's eating habits or exercise habits, or it's a whole it's definitely a very holistic approach, but we have to see, what is it that is your pain point and where can we start adjusting. Or for example, sleep is so important.
Oh,
If you
tell me
feel
about it.
depleted and you don't manage to sleep well, then we're gonna have to look at your day and really optimize it for a good night's sleep. So that is, that's why exactly what you're saying. The high achievers that do not like to calm down or, think like, oh no, that's like the last thing I do on the list. And then they land completely exhausted on the couch in the evening watching some series. And it may feel relaxing in the moment, but it's really not relaxing for our nervous system if we're having even more input. So that's like really what I'm preaching a little bit, to work on adjusting your nervous system and doing practices, and emphasizing in your daily life more. And you can do that in a 100% in a super busy job. You just have to know why and why. You have to know why and how.
Your why is important too, I think, because it comes last on the list, right, for most people. So, and also when you can show them, oh, but if I actually do work on my health more and I prioritize this, what will then be available for me? Super cool. So,
Because you gain a different energy level. It's
exactly.
simply that, like where you're usually depleted in the evening, you still have that little bit of energy to, either do a hobby or for your kids, for your family, for your wife, go on dates, meet a new partner, whatever people need energy for, that you will gain.
Absolutely. So, Kia, you started as my coachee, then we became friends. We traveled together. We traveled to Sedona a few weeks ago, and I was like, damn, here she is rolling out that yoga mat every morning, sitting in my bedroom, I remember doing meditation for 30 minutes, even though the rest of us were like drinking coffee and chatting away. You brought your oils with you. You cooked your own food, and I was like, damn, because at home I do not everything, but I do a few of these elements too, and I take properly care of myself. But when I travel, my routines and habits fly out of the window. Now I'm getting better with sticking to a few of them, like running, and I had my future self visualization that I did every morning, and just slowing down as well. But I really looked at you with a bit of envy because I thought, how are you able to keep up with your habits even though you're traveling and it's time to let loose a little bit? So, and I'm sure I'm not the only one struggling with this. So, can you share what works for you when you are traveling? A lot of the high achievers that are listening to this show also travel a lot.
Yes. So I think there are two approaches to that. You can either do it with a lot of discipline, which I'm generally a disciplined person, but if I don't want to do something, it doesn't work with discipline. So I had to find a different approach that is a little more gentle. And this other approach is also a very researched approach. It's the identity. It's to really sit down and feel into it for yourself and think about it for yourself. Who do you want to be? What do you want your life to be like? How do you want to feel? And if you put some curiosity in these thoughts and maybe some time at first to really get that clear for you, a lot of things come very naturally because it's just who you are. You don't, you know, I mean, I have those moments during the day where I start debating with myself. Oh, am I going to do this workout now? Am I not going to do it? Every once in a while, I even debate myself if I start a meditation or not. But generally, I don't. It's the things that are natural to me. And so they are also natural to me while I travel, although, and here I can maybe give a little bit of advice. It is a lot more challenged when you travel, right? Because as you say, you're not in your surroundings. You're not like you have to, the first thing is you have to pack your things, which is usually not a lot because I mean, you can have a travel mat. I think that helps for workouts or for yoga or for meditation. I think a travel mat is a really good invest and they're not very big. You can fit them in your suitcase. So that is maybe something, you know, you start with packing. And then maybe you have two, three things that you like to have in the morning, for example, for your meditation. For me, that's definitely essential oils. It's a little gemstone or something. And if I just have those two, three things, they center me. They make me feel as if I was in a familiar surrounding, even though I'm in a completely strange place. So that is definitely the first advice I can give. Take something that is familiar to you and that makes you feel, like you're not completely off somewhere. And then the next thing is the time for it, right? As you say, all of you were, I mean, because I get up and I drink some water in the moment in the morning. So I had to go to the kitchen before I started my practice. So I saw all of you sitting there having your coffee, sitting at your laptops, doing some work and chatting. And would I have liked to sit with you and have a chat? Of course, you know, it would have been so fun. But I thought to myself, and that was the part of my identity. If I don't start out with my practice and ground myself in the morning, then the day is just not going to be as good as it could be if I'm doing it. So I thought, okay, you know, I can shorten my practice a little bit. You don't have to do the whole thing. I mean, if you're on summer vacation somewhere, you know, if it's a real vacation and you're somewhere maybe just with your partner and you have the freedom and time to do a big workout, meditation, yoga classes, whatever in the morning, that's a completely different situation, right? But we're talking about being on business travel or going to a conference or things like that. And then it's really the part where you kind of like check back in with yourself and say, okay, how is my day going to be if I do this now? Or how is my day going to be if I don't do it now? And that can be a little workout in the morning. For example, if you're attending a conference and it's like a whole day in front of you of 8 hours, 10 hours of sitting, maybe it's 8 hours conference. And then in the evening you have a dinner, you're not going to have a lot of time to do a workout or to do a lot of walking in between, then it's really so crucial that you start with something in the morning that gets your energy flowing, that moves your body, and that calms your mind. And this all can be packed in 30 minutes. If you do it really fast, even in 20 minutes, sometimes we just have to adjust. But to really start your day out right is so much worth it.
Yeah.
Now, if we're looking, for example, at parents with kids, then the morning can be a challenging time, right? Because either you have to get up super early, so you beat your kids kind of like in terms of getting up or waking up, or you may have to adjust that around the kids a little bit. So for traveling, my advice is definitely know who you are before you go on your travel and who you want to be. Take a few things that make it easier for you. Maybe even also take some foods, some supplements. That is the one thing I forgot earlier when we packed for our fire. I just threw all of my supplements in my bag too.
I did remember it for this trip though with you.
Right.
It was my first time.
And so that's definitely something you can do. Or, you know, maybe there's a gym at the hotel you're at and you're going to the gym in the morning. So or
no, these are,
what
sorry.
Was the challenge for you, Amanda? Maybe, you know, this can be also helpful for the person who says, how am I going to build this in? Like, what was the challenge for you? And maybe I have a concrete advice for that.
So I think it depends a little bit. I think a couple of years ago, I wouldn't even think about exercising until I started training for my marathon, and I was still traveling so much that I had to go up and work out in the hotel gym. I've been to these conferences where you sit for 8 hours, and I have also, I included then a 5K run in the morning just to get my blood going. However, what I struggle with, and it was the same on our trip, although we have more time there, is that I don't sleep well in at night. And so sometimes I wake up really tired and I prefer to sleep a little bit longer than to sacrifice my sleep for a workout, because it's already like I've only had maybe 6 hours of sleep or something, especially if I have to sit down the entire day. So I think I totally vibe with the morning advice, because I'm an early riser and I love all of this. But I think in practice, it was sometimes difficult for me to actually make that happen. And I was just speaking to a coachee yesterday who is he has a very senior role and he travels a lot for work. And he at home, he has really good routines. But then on his business trips in the mornings, the most he can do is like a 30-minute quick walk or something. And the nights are packed too. And it's not always the food that you can choose. And there is sometimes drinking involved because it's a social thing. And so you then also sleep worse than you would at home, and which is also my problem. So I don't know if you can do anything with that.
Well, I mean, I think we have to stay realistic and definitely admit that traveling for work is usually not a time where you build routines for once, or where you will probably be able to maintain your best routines unless you want to be super unsocial or totally, you know, kind of like draw yourself out of it. So what can you do? I mean, sleep is crucial. And I mean, I don't say that on a general level that you should emphasize sleep over exercise, but definitely if you're traveling, your rest and your sleep is crucial. Like there's no discussion about that. So if you need a little more sleep, I think that's more important than doing a workout in the morning. I still think it would definitely be beneficial to get up so you have maybe 10 minutes to do a little bit of stretching, because our body is our vessel of energy, and our energy flows through our body. And if we don't move our body, our energy gets stuck. And that's what then shows during the day. It can, it can manifest in pain, in a neck pain or in a headache or something, but it can also just manifest in not being in a good mood because our energy can't flow. So, like, at least doing a little bit of a morning stretch will be super beneficial. And yeah, also with the food, I think it's if I think for me, for myself, and for my coaches, it's good to develop a routine of some basic things you can take. So in case there is nothing healthy, you still have your little backup. Maybe some protein bars or something. I mean, protein bars are not the most healthy thing in the world either, but there's always going to be a little supermarket where you can get some fresh fruit, some protein bar, maybe. So that is something, definitely your supplements. So you're still charged with with vitality. And then really for sleeping well, try a sleep mask, try earplugs, maybe a meditation to fall asleep so your nervous system can calm down. Maybe
Essential oils.
something I'm very resistant when I'm very tired. I'm the last one who feels like doing a little stretch or bed yoga or something. But doing it, getting yourself to do that, improves sleep often over 50% or 80%, just because your nervous system has the opportunity to settle down and to calm down before you dive into sleep. Because if it doesn't, you may still fall asleep because you're so exhausted, but then everything starts working and you may wake up in the middle of the night and stay awake for 2 weeks and, have thoughts running through your head. So, yeah.
That's what I struggle with usually.
Yeah.
This is great advice, and also a good reminder for me sometimes to spend a little bit more energy on that. I love what you said about the identity, because that's also something that I teach in the Copilot. It's the last session where we really look at, okay, now you know all these things about yourself, but how do you actually get into action that you can sustain? And to identify with the person you want to become, that is so empowering, really. And it creates this energy that, of course, I'm gonna. For example, I always go for a run because I'm a runner. Like, I've identified with that so many times, and it is who I really am. So there's no question there. But you can apply that to anything in your life. So it's a good reminder also for me with some of the smaller things that I still would like to take on to do that.
Yeah, and of course, like asking yourself the question, like, if you identify as a runner and then maybe you don't feel like going for a run, and then you ask yourself, what would a runner do? And then, the question, the answer comes very obvious. Or if you just on a very simple level want to say, I'm a healthy person, then in certain situations you ask yourself, what would a healthy person do now? And the answer is usually not having the fourth glass of wine or a bag of chips or those. That can all happen. We all need to stay human and have some fun in our life. I think that is very important. But on a general level, yeah, that's just the answers then will lead you, will guide you on your way.
Absolutely. Yeah, I ask this question myself many times on what would the future me do, or what would the person with that identity do? And it guides the way. Kia, Sophie, thank you so much for being on the show. I know I can talk to you for hours. That's also why we're friends. But for this episode, it's a wonderful advice that you gave us. And actually, I didn't tell you this in advance, sorry, but I always like to conclude the episode with a final question. And maybe it's something that you already said, but what is your number one hack to make living abroad or traveling easier or better?
My number one hack. Oh my goodness. There are 10 things shooting in my head right
Just one,
now.
just one.
Just one. Feel your own joy. I think that is not only for living abroad, it's just if that leads you through life and if that guides you through life, if you feel your own joy, then wherever you are, you'll be in the right place.
Oh, I love this. Yes. I love this. And maybe also prioritize joy because I feel like a lot of people are not doing that
Right.
in order to feel it. Like sometimes they don't even feel it anymore, right? So you need to prioritize it. But I love that. If you do that, yeah, you'll always be in the right place. Great. Well, thank you so much. Where can people find you if they want to know more about you and what you do?
So I have a website. It's my name, Kia Sophie. Kia Sophie. It's so interesting because it's differently pronounced in English and German. So in English, it's Kia Sophie and Kia with an E. A lot of people tend to spell it with an I. So it's
Like the car.
Kea and then Sophie with a PH and EI .com. So very easy. It's also that same name on LinkedIn or on Instagram. So yeah, this is, you can write me messages through all the channels. You can get in touch with me. You can book a free discovery call. And yeah, it would be my pleasure to be of your service. So this
Great.
way. It
I'll
was
put
so good to be on your show, and thank you for having me, Amanda.
You're very welcome. I'll put the link in the show notes so it's easy for people to find you.
Okay,
And
great.
well, thank you again.
Okay, thank you.